This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
With hockey insider Darren Dreger from TSN. Drags, it is a very challenging time for a number of teams right now dealing with injuries. Sabres certainly in that group. Some of it kind of the day-to-day nature here as they approach their final game before the break against Nashville on Saturday.
Yeah.
Bigger picture, though, it also seems like certain names on the roster can't escape the rumor mill at this point in time. What are you hearing on the Sabre front?
Oh, hearing everything. Sabres front, to be
Are
fair.
Are Duffer and I on the market? Are they trading us too?
Yeah, but the value is low. The return is
heavy. Our door was wide open and you took it. Thank you.
Bucket of pucks, as we learned last segment.
Yeah,
Marty.
Not a dozen sticks. Yeah. That's too much money.
No, hey, fellas, like, you know, you deal with it every single day. As do I, and a big part of the challenge of this time of year is separating fact from fiction. And, you know, when I see certain names, I mean, Dylan Cousins has been out there really dating all the way back to the original speculation connecting the Vancouver Canucks and maybe Elias Pettersson, you know, for Byram and Cousins. And that really hasn't faded specific to Dylan. And part of me thinks it's unfair, you know, that the player should have to deal with this on a day in and day out basis. Now, he's probably developed some scar tissue and it's just kind of what the league has become. But look, Kevin Adams is no closer to trading Dylan Cousins today than he might have been back then. But he has to be open to suggestions, to offers, to any sort of scenario that is going to make Buffalo Sabres better today and in the longer term. So I don't think that anything is going to change, but it is interesting to me because now we're starting to link certain clubs. You know, Pierre LeBrun earlier this week talked about the Calgary Flames' interest in Dylan Cousins. And my pushback to Pierre was, okay, but who's coming off of Calgary's roster for Dylan Cousins? Dustin Wolfe? Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Kevin Adams is going to trade, you know, a high quality player for futures. That's not at all what he's interested in doing. So that's the challenging part. There are literally 20 teams that are interested in Dylan Cousins. That makes so much sense. So now you go from Cousins to, you know, some of the speculation, loose speculation around certain guys. I had an Eastern Conference GM reach out to me this morning asking about Owen Power. And, you know, is there anything to this? Well, no, there isn't anything to it. I mean, no one has called Adams to say, hey, if you ever get to that place where you want to trade Owen, you know, let us know. No. But, you know, Adams can't every single day put out the fires that continue to swirl around the roster of the Buffalo Sabres. He can't, and he has to maintain the position that I'm open to ideas, and not specific only to Kevin. That's what I'm getting from a lot of managers, guys. That's the new phrase for 2025 heading into the deadline, open for ideas, which means, hey, I don't know. I guess I have some untouchables, but if you want to have a conversation, let's have a conversation. And I think you can lump Kevin, you can lump probably a half a dozen or more managers into that category.
For the first time since he was acquired, I have seen Alex Tuck's name out there again saying, oh, he'd be a good fit in Tampa Bay. He'd be a good fit with this team, with that team. Is this the same thing? Like, it's teams wanting to be open for ideas and kind of trying to match players with opportunity and Alex Tuck would be in there? Or is there something to be said that, well, Alex Tuck would be a guy that Kevin Adams may look to get a really good return upon, because he could get a good return with Alex
Tuck? And you know, he's an excellent example because, sure, I can assure you that Adams isn't shopping Alex Tuck, but Alex Tuck makes a contending team that much better, right? The quality of game that he's capable of playing. The problem with acquiring a piece like that, again, having to overpay here, given he's got a great contract with Buffalo, you know, having to overpay, you almost have to tear apart your roster to acquire a player like that. So I would put Alex Tuck in a category of, who would be another one? Braden Schenn with the St. Louis Blues, right? You know, now Braden Schenn has no trade protection. But St. Louis is, what, 6 points out of a playoff spot? And we're going to continue to talk about that guy until March 7th. And the reason that we're even talking is because, you know, that Doug Armstrong, who's an aggressive GM, would be gathering information. He'd be assessing what the market might look like for the idea of potentially trading his captain. Doesn't want to, but if somebody's willing to stand up and pay a price that you can't turn your back on, well, then you have to consider it. And I think to a degree that Alex Tuck fits into that similar a slot of the player that every contender can envision how, again, that player would make them better. They just don't want to have to give up what they're going to have to give up to get in that game.
Give up is a tough phrase to use when a team is going through a tough stretch. You don't, you know, it's the players are trying, obviously, but not getting results. I'm speaking specifically about Montreal here, who were the darlings of the league for a little bit. Now they've lost 6 of 7. And I'm wondering, do they, quote unquote, give up on this season to move forward down the road? Like, how have you viewed the landscape changing for Montreal potentially here in the last few weeks?
It is tricky, and you've painted the picture well, because Ken Hughes, you know, has to be sensitive to that market and what they've accomplished to this point of the season. And yeah, it's unfortunate that they've gone through this streak of games. The belief is that they will be better, that they will stay in the fight, and you know, whether or not they can lock down a spot, to me, it's too lofty. Every time I've checked in with Montreal, the feedback that I get is very similar. We can't take our eye off what we need to be next year, right? They needed to be competitive this year, and they've proven that they are a competitive team. But then you have to look at, okay, well, what are we talking about? Who are some of the pieces? And, you know, I look at Savard and I look at Matheson. And if you allow yourself to look into that crystal ball and you can envision the team being better next year and better the year after, that's probably without David Savard and Mike Matheson, right? Like, they're going to age out at some point in the not too distant future. So why wouldn't you take advantage of that? You know, that's a big part of why they made the trade with the Nashville Predators when they did, and they brought in Alex Carrier. Mm-hmm. And that was backfill for either Savard or Matheson. So I think they stay the course, and I think they consider and will probably move one or both of those guys. But I doubt that they dig deeper into their roster beyond that.
Dregs, I want to ask you about Ryan Hartman. He got suspended for 10 games. He's going to lose almost $500,000 because he's a repeat offender. So instead of being about 5% of his salary in, you know, fines for the suspension, it's about 12% because it's a different formula. So he's appealing the 10-game suspension. So the process is what? He appeals to Gary Bettman. Mm-hmm. And then if the suspension remains 10 or
goes to a third party,
third party, like is he going to get to that, or are we going to see this reduce?
Well, you know, Bettman doesn't expedite this process, never has and never will. And I don't think that that's just solely to defend the decision made by George Parros and the Department of Player Safety. In this case, he's got 10 games. So he's got time working on his side. You know, what hurts Ryan Hartman, and I think that the Department of Player Safety did a good thing in explaining in the detail that they did the video as to how they got to the 10 games. You know, 663 games played, Ryan Hartman has faced league discipline, fine or suspension every 60 games played in the National Hockey League. I mean, come on. And then four suspensions since 2023. So the rap sheet shows you evidence that this guy isn't getting it. And then you look at the play that earned him the 10-game suspension. That's a tough one to defend. You know, I get as a centerman, you know, your progress pushes you forward. I understand that maybe you lose your balance, but he plants his forearm to the back of Timmy Stützle's head. And then, you know, his body weight drives it into the ice. This one has the feel of, if there had been serious injury here, what are we talking about, man?
Like 25.
15 plus. Yeah. I mean, how do you argue that?
Yeah.
So I'd be surprised if Commissioner Bettman doesn't uphold the 10 games and then go to the third party. Yeah, sure. I mean, that's why the appeal process is there, to defend the player in this case. But again, when you look at history for Ryan Hartman, it's a tough one to overturn for me.
I know we've talked about this name a lot, but he has returned and has helped the Ducks have a bigger impact in their games. They've won 5 of the last 6, but Trevor Zegras' name continues to float out there,
yeah,
despite the offense being up and the results being better since he returned. What's up?
It's a good question. And I, you know, I'm starting to think of Trevor Zegras the way I do John Gibson. You know, in that his name is going to always be out there until something happens, or inevitably it doesn't happen, right? Like, and again, I think the last time we talked a little bit about this, and I brought up Vetrano's name and how when they talked about, you know, the type of extension that he signed, they acknowledged that in the not too distant future, they're going to be a cap team, which is why they needed the deferral option with Frankie Vetrano's extension. So if you see yourself being in that mode, then why are you trying to trade away a dynamic piece? A player who I think is trying his best. He's working hard to be more of a two-way forward than what he is. That's them. Look, defending in the game is never going to be top priority for Trevor Zegras. And in that market, I don't know that it needs to be, but I think that he's got the qualities of a difference-making type of player. And that's the reason why, when you get to this point leading up to the trade deadline, the rumors are out there from a media standpoint, which leads to general managers calling Pat Verbeek to say, where are you now? What sort of return do you need? And I think Verbeek at this stage is at least willing to listen.
Are we going to see Quinn Hughes, Sidney Crosby, and others, Mitch Marner, that are dealing with injuries right now, but are part of the Four Nations tournament? Like, are we going to see them actually play in the Four Nations faceoff?
Well, I think you'll see Mitch Marner play. The expectation is he plays tonight in Seattle. The other two big question marks. Mike Sullivan recently, you know, approached the media. Sidney Crosby was briefly on the ice with the main group, and then he did some stuff on the side. So the fact that he's even skating today, I think bodes well. But, you know, they just basically said need more evaluation to make that call on Crosby. And what a blow that would be for hockey fans, right? Like, my excitement level for the Four Nations is limited, but it's mostly there because I want to see what Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, and Nathan MacKinnon are capable of on the same team, same sheet ice. So you take that away, oh boy. I think the Quinn Hughes situation is the most intriguing of all. Quinn Hughes would love to be playing with the Vancouver Canucks. That's how I read it. That's how I, like, he, I wouldn't say he feels healthy enough, but he's a kid that can gut through. He wants to play so that he can get to the Four Nations and represent USA. And it sure sounds like the Vancouver Canucks are like, nah, you're not healthy enough, man. You're not healthy enough to play. And by extension, Four Nations at this stage looks like a long shot. But, you know, what do they have until Monday? So there's still some time to figure all of this out.
Real quick, do you think the Kings are going to add anything? They've gone through maybe their dip. They've won 2 in a row. They are the best home team in the NHL, and they have a home-heavy schedule the rest of the way. So does this put them in an add mode?
Dabbling add, I would say. You know, I asked Rob Blake about this the other day, and it was more in line with you see Drew Doughty's minutes again last night, 25-plus minutes in that win over the Montreal Canadiens. he feels like a major add. So what Blake told me was, sure, we're always looking for something, but more likely it'll be depth in the areas that you normally want to add depth, and that's up front and on defense.
Dregs, thank you so much. We'll see you again next week.
You bet. Go Eagles.
Darren Dreger, our Hockey Insider from TSN. We're back after this on Sabres Live.